story?
Akiva.
Oh, well done. Well done. Right? So children, if the part of the service that's normally for the adults, that's normally for you, went to the adults, the story time, who do you think the sermon is really for today? For you, yes. Yes, it is for you. And so the question that I have for you today is it okay if we let the adults listen in? Is that all right? We're going to share? All right. Lovely. So adults, you've been given permission by the children to listen in.
Amen.
Yes, I bring greetings to you from our dear president, Pastor Lawrence Johnson, and our secretariat, Pastor John Ferguson. I know that if they could be here, they would be with us today. Yes, and our treasurer, Elliot. Yes, but let us get into the word this morning, shall we? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercies towards us. We love you very much, and I thank you that we can be here together. And I pray that as we open your word, that you will speak to our hearts and bless us. For I ask this in your holy name, dear Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, wondering if we've got the microphone, I can hear the children respond every now and again. It's that little one, that microphone that is there.
I don't think.
Yeah. Or they've got big voices, so they can shout,
or
speak loudly. Yeah. All right, the children. If we go to the next slide, please. Let me see that. That there. When I was 7 years old, I was given a doll, and it was one of those tall dolls, and it was my favorite gift. And you know, my sister, who was a year older than me, she was also given actually the same doll. Big mistake. We got into endless quarreling, especially when the shoes started to disappear, we started to lose them. But that was my favorite gift. So, Julia, I'm wondering, what was your favorite gift that you've received? What's, yes?
Jerry.
What's Jerry?
A teddy bear.
A teddy bear? Oh, lovely. Anyone else? What's your favourite gift that you've received? Yes?
My watch.
Your watch? Lovely. Yes?
My family.
Your family? Yes, very nice. Anyone else? Children, I want you all to help me out today. Yeah? You can help me as well. Yes? Right? So, you know, we get these gifts. And, I mean, if you look at the next slide, yes? Says, what was your best gift that you ever received? And the one after that, next slide. It says, it's often the small things in life that are the best gifts. Sometimes it's a smile that you receive. Did we, adults?
Yes.
You know, when you're not feeling too good and you receive a smile, or even you receive a hug,
yeah.
And you feel like, wow, I needed that. Yeah? Right? But sometimes we receive gifts and they are so special. Slide. Look, I praise God for the gift of my family. Mm-hmm. You might recognize actually Pastor Colton Douglas on there. That's my husband. And our boys, James and Nathaniel. Well, it's been taken so long ago that James is actually taller than me now.
Wow.
he was looking forward to that. But if I put my heels on, I'd get away with it still now. So, next slide. So, this is what I want you to think carefully about. Adults, you can do the same. What gift do you think God would like most of all? You think about it. If you could present God with a gift, all wrapped up, and you could say, "Here, God," and that then all of a sudden you saw this wonderful beaming smile and cute thank you. I don't want to answer just yet. What would that gift be? I'm going to tell you a story, and at the end of the story, I'm going to ask you the same question. Is that okay? What do you think that gift would be? Right, so think, and then tell me at the end. Next slide. Right, so we're told there was a man named Lazarus, and we're told nothing about what made him ill, but we're told that he was sick. He was very, very ill, and he had two sisters. Do you know the names of Lazarus' sisters? Does anyone know the names? Yes?
Martha
was one, but she was the eldest sister. Yes? And Mary. So we had Mary and Martha, and they looked at Lazarus, and And they thought, oh no, I don't know what's caused this, but he's very ill. You know? Sometimes you get ill, don't you, children? You know, maybe sometimes maybe your family members get ill as well. What do your parents do when you become ill? What do they do? Yes?
Tell me to go to bed.
That's a good thing. Because, you know, rest is very good, you know, because the body can start to heal itself. That's fine. Pray to God. Yes, that's a good one. Pray to God. So go to bed. Pray to God.
Your parents give you soup?
Soup, yes. Maybe they put some special herbs in there and things like that, and a good soup, and wrapped up, go to bed, pray, yes? Right? Many, many things. And sometimes, you know, if we don't make such a good recovery, they might need to take us where? But I wasn't quite thinking the hospital just yet. Before the hospital.
Doctors.
To the doctors. And the doctors might say, oh, what's wrong? So, oh, I've got a bit of a sore throat. Oh, okay, maybe something going around at school, or you caught it from someone, yes? And then if you are still not getting better after you receive some medicine from the doctors, then the hospital, yeah? Then the hospital. Well, you know, this happened that Lazarus was not getting any better. And you know the good thing about it was that Mary and Martha knew exactly what to do. What did they do? What did they do? Yes? They sent off a message to Jesus. So someone said, listen, go to Jesus and tell him that Lazarus isn't very well. In fact, this is what it says. In John chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 3, it says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. And did you know why they sent that message, the one that you love? Did you know that of all the places that Jesus would go and relax, that was the place where he would go? It was like his second home. They were like brothers and sisters. And so they knew that, you know, Jesus, he comes here all the time. And so, you know what? We will send a message to Jesus. Jesus is all over the place healing people. And so if we send this message to him, we know that because we love him and he loves us and he loves to stay at our home, it's his home, that he will come back and he will maybe lay his hand on Lazarus, or he will pray over him and Lazarus will be well. Did that sound like a good plan? It sounded like a very good plan. And so they sent the message and, you know, it was very good. Very, very good. Jesus received the message, and when he heard the message, did he come? Did he come? What are you shaking your head? He didn't come. I thought he loved him.
He didn't come immediately.
He didn't come immediately. And the plan was that he would come immediately. You know, sometimes we pray to God and said, Lord, I want you to help me. We're having a bit of a problem and we need your help. Did you expect him to help you straight away? What sort of answers does God give to us when we pray? Yes?
Sometimes it's a no.
Sometimes a no. Someone else? Sometimes it's a yes. And sometimes it's...
Wait.
Yes?
And maybe.
Maybe there might be another one as well. There might be another one too. Yeah? And that was like generally the three responses that you would get. You know, and so it looks like he was saying to Mary and Martha, what do you think answer was to them?
Wait.
Well, they were waiting. They were looking at Lazarus. They were bathing his brow and trying to do everything they could. Give him some water to drink. Make sure that, you know, he's covered and that he was changed. And look after him well. And they waited and they waited and they prayed and they waited and they looked and they asked, has anybody seen Jesus coming? what happened? It was ill and he got so bad, he died. Oh my word. Can you imagine how they felt? They were looking for Jesus, their good brother, their good friend, the one who used to stay at their house, and he did not come the way that they expected him. Oh, how would you feel if you was Mary and Martha? Yes?
Sad.
Very sad. Oh, yes. Very disappointed. Well, you know something. They, you know, things were so bad, that, you know, he not only missed, you know, it was only so late that Lazarus died. He was so late. Do you know what happened? How late was he?
Very late.
Very late, yes. Any more takes on that? Yeah?
Lazarus was already buried.
He was already buried. In fact, in verse 17 it says, on his arrival, because eventually Jesus and his disciples turn up, it says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Oh my word. 4 days, 4 days. So imagine they planned the funeral, then he was buried, you know, he was put there in the tomb, not buried, but put into the tomb in this cave. And everyone was there, all the mourners. Imagine now, all of us. You know, because sometimes when we go have funeral services, lots and lots of people come to support the families, don't they? And sometimes you're there and you're hugging each other and you're weeping together. Oh, I can't believe this, it's terrible. Everyone was there and the sisters were crying and all the mourners, like the friends, they were all crying. And then Jesus turns up. Everyone's still there. Well, did you know what happened when he turned up? In verse 20 and 21, this is what it says. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. And what does Martha say? Martha said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When you're close to someone and you love someone, you can tell them how you really feel. Did you know that God wants to know how you feel? How you really feel? Sometimes you don't feel good. Is that true or false? Adults, sometimes we don't feel good. You know, and we might think to ourselves that we want, you know, God wants us to say, oh Lord, this is a wonderful day. No, no, no. He wants us to come to him and say, you know, Lord, I feel rotten. And in fact, you know what? I feel that you let me down today. This is what Martha's saying. Jesus, you know, I'm glad to see you, but the problem is, if you had come earlier when we sent the message, he would not have died. Well, it doesn't stop there. Yet. By the time Martha, because Martha's there chatting to Jesus and they have a lovely conversation, and she's encouraged so much that she goes and calls her sister Mary. And now when Mary comes, what do you think Mary says to Jesus?
She says,
"Good to see you." She does. In fact, it's in verse 32. This is what it says. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." How disappointing. You can just, and she then falls to the floor and she just starts to cry. Oh. What does Jesus do? All this disappointment around him. What did he do when he heard this? No, before that.
and some of the mourners, they said, oh, look, he really loved Lazarus. But then others of the mourners said, but he could have healed him if he wanted to. So even the mourners were thinking the same thing. Oh, Jesus really let down his good friends. Really let down. And you know something? It's nice to know that Jesus cried, isn't it? Because it means that he felt the sadness that everyone else was feeling. Okay? You know, sometimes do you feel sad? We don't always feel happy, do we? And it's good for you to know that God understands how you feel. Well, the story could have ended right there. And we could say, well, at least Jesus understood how they felt. But does it end there? Praise God, it doesn't end there. Because what happened? Let's look at verse 41. It says, verse 40, then Jesus said, verse 39, take away the stone, he said. Verse 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Verse 43. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus! Come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What did Jesus do? What did he do?
Heal him.
He did more than heal him. He raised him from the dead. We call it a resurrection. When somebody was dead and he raised him up to life again. You know, our God is so amazing. He doesn't just have to heal people. You know, one day is going to come when Jesus returns and all those people that have died and we've buried them, we've had funeral services and we've put them to sleep and they're there at the graveyard, at the cemetery. One day, when Jesus returns, the trumpet shall sound, and all those that died, and they died in Christ, and that they loved him and accepted him, they will rise again, just like Lazarus did. Did you know that? Oh, it's very, very true. Well, Lazarus comes forth, and Mary and Martha, they're still crying, but this time they're crying tears of joy. They're praising God. The people around them are looking and they cannot believe their eyes. Lazarus, who was dead, is now alive. And so the question that I have for you is this. If Christ did something so special for Mary and Martha and Lazarus, what would they do in return? What do you think would be a nice thing? If he did that for you, what would you do for him? What would you do? Yes?
Give him your time.
Oh, very good. Give him your time, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, do you want to stand up? Who else? What would you do for him? Yes? Yeah, he raised them, Lazarus, to life. But what would you do for him? Yes?
I would pray every day, same time to him for what he's done.
Right. Oh, yeah, look at the line over here, yes?
I would praise him.
Ah, that's what I was looking for. And we would praise him, yes? We would praise him, we'd make lots of noise and really thank him for what he's done. But did you know? They did something very, very special. And it's shared with us in, have you seen? It's in actually the next chapter, chapter 12. You see, children, it's a very big lesson for us here. Jesus was how many days late to come to see Lazarus? How many days?
Four.
4 days. But was he really late?
No.
He was actually right on time. Yes? Our Jesus, our Lord, you can pray. And for us, it's late because we wanted him to do this and we wanted him to do that. But God knows how he wants to answer our prayers. Right? So the reality is, he was actually right on time. Yes? And so this is what they do in chapter 12. Verse 1, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' favor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. And Mary took a pint of pure nard, expensive perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Isn't that lovely? Actually, I have the slide, yeah? Yeah, they found it all lovely, thank you. A special celebration. So imagine, there was actually one, that's it. Imagine all the lovely food that was there. And everyone was there saying, look. They weren't saying now, oh, if you were on time, you could have been. Now they were saying, wow, this Jesus is amazing. And you know, everyone that saw the miracle, they went around back to their homes and they kept telling everyone, guess what happened today? Guess what Jesus did? Oh, he's so amazing. He must be God's son. He must be the Messiah. Everyone was so excited at what Jesus had done. And so they had a very special party, all the best food, and the house was full. Imagine. And that was 6 days before the Passover. In fact, it was 6 days before what would happen to Jesus? He would die on the cross. Imagine. 6 days before Jesus would die on the cross, they had a big celebration. Big celebration to honor him. How beautiful. But you know, it doesn't just stop there. That was celebration number one. Did you know that there was a second celebration? Did you not know? Children, did you know there was a second celebration? There was a second celebration, and it's verse 12 of chapter 12, John chapter 12. It says, the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way in Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, and they were shouting, what they shout? Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. The adults and the children were waving the palm branches. Hosanna! Hosanna! Would you like to be there? I would have loved to be there to sing praises to Jesus, right? And so they were just, you know, I can imagine the crowd. Some people were saying, oh, he's the one that raised Lazarus to life. Wow. Oh, yes, he must be the Messiah. Well, did you know that there was one more celebration? Really attached to this, but there was one more celebration. Did you know that? Did you know about that one? Can you tell me if you know about that one? What was the next celebration? Well, it was coming to the Passover and Christ would die. But there was another one, and it found, it's recorded, but elsewhere, but I want to look at the Matthew chapter 21. Yes? So the people are still shouting Hosanna, and they're coming to Jerusalem, and they've come by the temple. And when they come to the temple, something happens that wasn't really expected. Jesus does something that causes a stir. Do any of you know what Jesus does? You know. Well done. Did you hear that, adults?
No.
He turned over. A bit louder.
He knocked down the tables in the temple
because they were buying and selling of doves and all sorts of things. And Jesus was so upset that they treated the house of God in that way. And he said, no, take it all out. And he threw pushed the tables over and he caused a stir. And so the priests were not very pleased about that. But something special happened. I'm going to read it to you. It's from chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, and verses 13 to 16. This is what it says. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting, if we could have that picture, please, on the PowerPoint. The children shouting in the temple court, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. They were very angry, very cross about it. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth? That was the third celebration. What was the third celebration? The children in the temple court singing. Now, look, can you see the picture there? They're there dancing around and they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna! Yes? They're filling the whole temple with praise to God. And the priests are so cross that they want Jesus to say, be quiet, come out. But instead, Jesus says, it's a good thing. So imagine, children, does God like to hear you sing? Children, does God like to hear you sing? He loves to hear you sing. He said, don't tell them to be quiet. Let them sing. Let them praise me. I love to hear their voices. So how many celebrations were there? Number one, what was the first one?
God healed
Lazarus.
Lazarus.
And what did they do? They had a nice
celebration.
Well done. What about celebration number two? Yes? The entry to Jerusalem, yes, and they had the palm branches and everything that was praising Jesus. And what was number three? The third one? Yes? Yeah, the children were singing. Praise God. Now remember the question I asked? I want to come back to you with that question and answer that question in a moment. But I've got a little story to share with you, and it's my special story about me. When I was a little girl, in fact, 6 years old, my mom used to take us to church. And when she would take my sisters, plus five of us in my family, she would take us to church. And I was very, very shy. Very shy. I wouldn't hear much from you. Unless I knew you, I would stay away. And what happened was they gave me a primary lesson book. Does anyone have a primary lesson book? Who's in the primary class here? Yes. Yeah, it was about your age. Yeah? Right? And so they gave me a primary lesson book. And even though I was shy, I enjoyed reading. In fact, I was good at reading. And so I used to read these stories, and I read the story of David and Goliath. Do you know that story? Yeah? David was just a little boy, but yet, when the big, tall Goliath was there, and all the men there of Israel were afraid to fight him, David came, and he came with his sling, didn't he? He said, no, I will fight for God. I said, oh, you're a little boy. He said, no, God is with me, and he will give me the victory. And no, he did. And then there was another story, I remember, about these Hebrew young men who were told to bow down before this image that Nebuchadnezzar had built. Yes? And if they didn't do it, they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. When I read the story, I thought, wow. And they were told, if you don't bow down, you'll be thrown into the furnace. And they said, you know what, King? We don't even need a second chance. We're not going to do it. Our God is able to save us if he wants to. But even if he chooses not to, we will not praise him, God. Wow. I was reading that story and I was like, wow, what happened? What do you know what happened? What happened?
They got thrown into the fire furnace and then they were. There was an angel with them.
Dan. God got in the fire with them. Wow. I was reading the story and I said to God, one day, you know, because Mom used to have worship with us and things like that. But one day, I was in my bedroom. Mom wasn't there. Dad wasn't there. My sisters were not. I was in there by myself. And I looked at these stories and I said, wow, you know, God, I like the stories that I'm reading about you. And I have a question to ask you. I want to know if you're real. I want to know if you are real. If you are real, I will give you my life. And this is how I will know that you are real. Sometimes I think back to that prayer and I think, how could I even pray that prayer? But I said, this is how I'll know. You see, sometimes children in my house, things were not always well with Mom and Dad. They didn't always get along. Yeah? And so I prayed to God, like, if you can help the situation in my house, you know, if you can turn things around better, I will know that you are real. And I will give you my life. Wow. What a prayer for a little girl. You know something? Over the years, I noticed that God was doing something in my house. He was doing something in my family. And one day, there we were at church, and I'm sure you have it here, they were having a big campaign. Yes? Have you been to a campaign, children? Where someone is preaching, you know, maybe a few nights, it might last a week, it might last a few days, and someone's preaching on different things each day. And then they usually say something like this: if anyone would like to accept God into their lives and to be baptized, would they come forward? Have you heard something like that before? When I was sitting down, I was 9 by now. So how many years ago? 3 years. Yeah, since I prayed that prayer. I was 9 and I was sitting down in the congregation like you are here today. And I sat and the preacher said, someone needs to come forward and give their lives to God. And I was just sitting down there. God said to me, it's your turn now, Pat. You promised me. Give me your life. I said, wow, my word. And my heart started to beat quickly because I felt like, how can I go to the front? But you know, he gave me the courage and I stood up and I walked down the front. And if Mom could have fainted, she thought, Pat, going to be baptized. Not Pat. She thought everybody else in the family would, but not me. Yeah. And I tell you this, I did it. Didn't get baptized at a particular time. I decided, well, she needed a bit more time, that was fine. But you know what? I took that stand then because I realized that God is real. And that God loves us so much. And he will listen to us. So this is what I want you to remember. Sometimes you may have problems and your parents may be there, but you can pray to God and he'll answer your prayers all by yourself. Never forget that. Sometimes you're at school or somewhere and you can't get to Mom and Dad or you can't get to family, but God is with you wherever you are. Right? He will hear your prayers. And so the question I asked was, what gift do you think that God would like most of?
Praise.
What's that?
Praise,
yes, definitely like praise.
Prayer.
He likes us to pray because that's speaking to him, communicating with him, yes?
To give your life to him. Adults, do you agree with that?
Yes.
In fact, we've got another slide here. And it's from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It says, love, can you read that with me? Nice loud voice. Yeah?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
So the question today, children, is this. Would you like to say to God today, I want you in my life. I want to live for you. I want to celebrate you because you're wonderful. If you would like to do that, I want to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray for you today. Yeah. Oh, very courageous. Very courageous. Well done. Well done. Yes? You can stand. Yes. Yes? Oh, wonderful. Ethel, you can stand too if you would like. Right? It's the best decision that you could ever make. And I want to ask for adults that have their children here, just come. I want to say a special prayer at this time. Just lay your hands on your child, wherever they are. And just position yourself and come and lay your hand on your child. We're going to have a special prayer today. Yeah? Or if parents aren't here and you've got a guardian, a grandparent, or uncle or aunt, please come. Every child should have someone that's laying their hand upon them. Yeah? Everyone come. And is someone for this young lady here too? Who's with you? I will put my hand on you. Yes? Is it everyone? So we have our babe cradled here, so the blessings are all flowing through. Yes? Yeah, everyone. Everyone is covered? No one missing? Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for who you are today. How wonderful you are. Lord, your plans are so wonderful. You are so great. Lord, we think of the situation with Lazarus and how disappointed his sisters were at how things turned out to begin with. But then when you came and what you did, they were overjoyed. And Lord, we are overjoyed to have you in our lives. We know this world isn't perfect, but we know, Father, that as long as you walk with us, as long as you talk with us, as long as you guide us, as long as you hold us in your arms, that everything will be all right. And so today, as we lay our hands on our children here at Hull Seventh-day Adventist Church, Lord, we pray that you will lay your hands on each one. They are your children, and we commit them to you today. And pray, Father, that as they grow, that you would guide them in the decisions that they must make. Lord, they live in a world that influences them to do many things, and some of those things are not good. But we pray, dear Father, that they would hear your lovely, sweet voice, guiding them in the right and proper way. Help them to be bright light in their homes. Help them to be a bright light in their little community so that their neighbours and friends in the community can see you shining through them. Oh Lord, we know that you have wonderful plans for their lives. And so bless them in a very, very special way so that when you return, they will be ready to greet you as Lord and Saviour of their lives. But not just them, but their entire families. Lord, and all those whom you shall use them to shine and, you know, shine before so that they would come to accept you as Lord of their lives. And so bless us this day. We feel your presence and we feel blessed. And so we praise you and we glorify your matchless name for all that you have done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.